ice cream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, you scream, we all scream.
Waffle cones filled with Buller's creamy real ice cream, gooey sauces and generous toppings. The all-new Buller Creamy Classic Sundae range is definitely worth screaming about. Buller, some things are just unfakeable. We are free for ice cream!
You're listening to SBS News.
Knowing that just like people who gathered that night on Bondi Beach were committing to that light will prevail over darkness. It's clear to me that a Royal Commission is essential to achieving this.
That was Australia's Prime Minister in January. He's called for a Royal Commission into issues related to anti-Semitism and the circumstances behind the Bondi terrorist attack that targeted Hanukkah celebrations, killing 15 people in December. So what is a Royal Commission? It's an independent public inquiry established by a state or Commonwealth government. Former Judge Ronald Sackville says there are two kinds, which often overlap.
One kind of Royal Commission is an investigation into something that's gone terribly wrong, like robo-debt, or if there has been a disaster of some kind, the job of the Royal Commission is to investigate, make findings, and perhaps make recommendations that somebody be referred for criminal prosecution. The second category are policy-oriented Royal Commissions, like the Disability Royal Commission.
The New South Wales government first announced its own probe in the wake of the shooting attack in December, as well as another inquiry from the Australian Federal Police that was also in the pipeline. Those will now be folded into a Commonwealth-led Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion. Other forms of inquiry have been widely considered to not have the scope and powers required to be effective in this case. Mr. Sackville says the key difference is that a Royal Commission, unlike other inquiries, can force people and institutions to participate.
They include the power to compel a witness to give evidence and to do so without the protection, for example, of the privilege against self-incrimination. It also has power to require individuals or agencies to provide written information on matters that are specified by the Royal Commission.
These are independent reviews, but they are established and designed by the government which appoints them. Associate Professor in Politics from Australian National University, Dr. Jill Shepherd, says commissions can be a useful political tool.
Responding quickly in a way that shows voters and citizens that you are serious about this, but also not having to come up with a solution straight away. So they kind of kick the can down the road of having to deliberate and come up with, you know, policy suggestions or, you know, in the worst case, and this happens more at the state level because of the nature of state royal commissions, you know, sometimes criminal prosecution.
The Australian government defines a royal commission as the highest form of inquiry on matters of public importance, which are only established in rare and exceptional circumstances. But if you think they seem to be becoming less rare and less exceptional, former political adviser and academic Scott Prasser says you're right.
Since 2013, we've had 13 sort of royal commissions, okay? So we've had an increase in federal royal commissions, okay, happening. And I think that's a reflection that, you know, royal commissions is the institution you turn to when you run out of institutions to review things independently. I call it the institutional last resort.
Each Royal Commission is different, not just because of the subject matter, but who is running it and the limits of what it can investigate. Those limits are set by the terms of reference, which determine what is on or off the table. Those terms of reference are designed to consider issues including privacy, possible harm to people or the public, national security in some cases, and cost to the taxpayer, which run into the millions. While the process is run independently of government, Dr. Shepherd says ultimately it's driven by political will.
So if we sort of bring this back to individuals, that is Anthony Albanese saying, I'm not going to deal with this sort of, with this in Parliament yet. I want this to go to a Royal Commission, but I'm going to specifically tell the Royal Commission what I want them to talk about, the kinds of ways that I want them to think about those issues, and I'm going to pick the person that chairs it.
Public and private hearings usually run on and off for around a year, after which the Commissioner and staff must write a final report. That report usually lists recommendations to be adopted as policy and can make referrals to prosecutors in the event that there's evidence of criminal activity. But Mr. Prasser says there's an underlying tension in the process because the government that calls a commission is usually responsible for acting on its findings.
There is always this problem, is the Royal Commission's recommendations have to be implemented by the government of the day. A Royal Commission has got no power to implement its recommendations. And governments have all sorts of techniques to manage Royal Commissions. They can say they're doing it. They can say, we don't agree with this recommendation, or it's going to cost too much, or so on.
However, he says the public nature of hearings and publicly available reports mean accountability is built into the process.
It's a brave government that ignores the Royal Commission, okay? Because politically it will become untenable. So government's got to be very wary about opposing things. There's evidence is something like 60% of recommendations of Royal Commissions are implemented, okay? And sometimes that's because some of the recommendations require state governments.
The interim report, or first report, into the 2026 Royal Commission on Anti-Semitism and Social Cohesion is due this April. Camille Bianchi, SBS News.
SBS's award-winning podcast, Fallout, Spies on Norfolk Island, has just been named one of Apple's best of 2025. See why, as journalist Richard Baker uncovers the truth behind an extraordinary international spy story. In 1985, Greenpeace's Rainbow Warrior was bombed in Auckland Harbour. Richard follows the trail from the Pacific to Paris to uncover what really happened. Listen to Fallout, Spies on Norfolk Island on the SBS audio app or wherever you get your podcasts.